Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS News World News Roundup Late Edition, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Matt Piper in Des Moines with the candidates and the caucus goers.
I was actually made my decision last night.
I have my mind made up, yes, and I did it early on, and I looked at all the candidates. I previously did vote for Trump in the past two elections, and I'll be caucusing for DeSantis.
Ron DeSantis trying to make a last-minute push here.
We've gone to all 99 counties. We've shown up. We've answered questions. I participate in all the debates. I mean, imagine not debating. You know, what does that say?
Nikki Haley, too.
If you will join and caucus with us tonight, if you will join this movement, I promise you, I will spend every day trying to make you proud.
But the front runner, Donald Trump, did not have any public events today, hoping the polls ring true. I'm Matt Piper in Des Moines. Now with more CBS News, here's Monica Ricks in New York.
Our other big story tonight is the brutal cold gripping most of the country, including the Deep South.
We came to pick up a couple of items, things that we could possibly eat that don't require heat. So we kind of picked up bread, some canned items, just things to make sandwiches with, just in case we lose power.
If you are traveling today, good luck. More than 10,000 flights have now been delayed or canceled. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin has been released from the hospital. Here's CBS's Cammie McCormick.
The Pentagon says Austin has recovered well, according to his doctors, but will continue to perform his duties remotely for a period of time before returning to the Pentagon full time. He will have continuing physical therapy and is expected to make a full recovery.
Quaker Oats expanding its recall now of more than 40 products due to possible salmonella contamination. Two dozen additional types of granola bars, cereals, and snack foods are now part of it. An extra special birthday for a special vet.
He thought it was a hoot, so much so he ended up in tears. Harry Perez Cerizo, a Purple Heart recipient who served in both World War II and the Korean War, celebrated his 101st birthday at a Hooters in El Paso, Texas. The chain's famous Hooter girls serenaded him before presenting him with a cake and a hat signed by the staff in recognition of his 22 years of military service. Cerizo told family members, including great-great-grandchildren, he plans to spend every birthday from now on at Hooters. Jim Crisula, CBS News.
And a succession prop auction this weekend fetched more than $600,000. Everything from Roman Roy's eulogy notes to that ludicrously capacious bag sold. The show's final season up for best drama tonight at the Emmys. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The Wisconsin Supreme Court has seven sets of proposed maps to consider as new boundaries for legislative districts are put in place by mid-March. They come from the governor and from Republicans, Democrats, college professors, and partisan law firms. The High Court ordered new maps in a landmark ruling in December. The Iowa caucuses are tonight, the first step to the Republican Party convention in Milwaukee this summer. Former U.S. House Speaker Paul Ryan says he won't be there if Donald Trump is the nominee. Donald Trump Jr. says that's fine with him.
He's the rhino that the America First movement despises. So if he doesn't show up to the convention in Milwaukee, no one gives a damn.
Trump speaking with WISN-TV's Up Front. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
Bucks win in overtime. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks and the Sacramento Kings in a high-scoring thriller at five-serve form that went down to the wire in overtime, 144-143 in favor of Milwaukee. The Bucks' Damian Lillard on how he dodged De'Aaron Fox to hit the winning three-point shot at the buzzer.
I wasn't going inside the three-point line, so he kind of got back in front of me, and I just changed direction, and it was a pretty comfortable shot.
The Bucks have now won their last three. They head to Cleveland to face the Cavaliers Wednesday. NFL, the Packers with a stunning upset of the Dallas Cowboys, 48-32. They jumped out to a 27-0 lead by the second quarter, snapping a 16-game winning streak at home for the Cowboys. Up next, Green Bay heads to California to face the 49ers Saturday night at 7:15 in the divisional playoffs.
All these guys have the ability, all the young guys that we have, Christian on out, the oldest receivers on year two, and I believe in them.
That's Packers outside linebacker Preston Smith. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Cold tonight, a few flurries, a low of 8 below, and wind chills of 25 below. Partly cloudy and cold with a high near 3 on your Tuesday. Wind chills at 25 to 30 below zero. For Wednesday, partly sunny with a high near 7 degrees and a high near 6 for Thursday.
Right now, it's zero.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Tell a friend what's on tap. There's a new station in town with conversation about Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Hello, folks. Welcome to your Paul Revere Show. We are here on Civic Media, WAUK 540 AM 101.1 FM every Monday night. Tonight, it's a cold, bitter night. But I tell you what, folks, I'm very, very honored to have with me the leader, or, you know, I'll say the leader of folks, the new generation, Mayor Cavalier Johnson. Hello, Mayor. How are you?
Mark, I'm doing very, very well. Hope you're doing well, too, and happy MLK Day.
Well, I know you must have had a very, very busy day, and so I think I'm stealing you from your children, so I thank you very, very much for your time tonight. But, you know, to me, it's I just looked at the history books. This has been a holiday since January 20th, 1986. So your whole life, you've had this holiday. I haven't had the holiday. So before we get into sort of your views and your vision for the future, what has Dr. Martin Luther King and this holiday meant to you?
You know, all day I attended MLK celebrations across Milwaukee. And I'll just leave you with what I finished up saying at the first one, which is the largest MLK gathering in the state of Wisconsin, put on by the YMCA in Metropolitan Milwaukee, which I've been associated with since I was a teenager. And that's this. It's Dr. King's message that it doesn't cost anything to be kind. It just doesn't. You can be humble. You can be gracious. Anybody with a heart full of love can get up and help and serve and inspire the next generation. And again, it costs you $0. It costs you 0 cents to simply just be a good person, to be kind to your fellow man, your fellow woman, children in our community. And it makes our entire city and our community a better place to be.
So how do we take this message? And I put it this way. We're just starting here in 2024. What is your vision for Milwaukee, Milwaukee's role in the state of Wisconsin in 2024?
Well, Milwaukee's got an outsized role in the state of Wisconsin. I mean, what happens here in this city proper, has an outsized effect on what happens in our region and what happens across the state of Wisconsin, too. That's something that I understand full well in my roles and my responsibility as mayor of Milwaukee. And so for me, I want to make sure that we're continuing to build on the foundation that we've laid over the course of the last 2 years that I've had the privilege and the pleasure of serving as mayor of this city. When I first ran for this office, I said I wanted to make a city that was stronger, make a city that was safer, and make a city that was more prosperous for everybody. And I think that we've been doing that over the course of the last couple of years. When you think about strength for the city, no longer are we facing a fiscal cliff, a calamity that would have devastated services in the city of Milwaukee because we were able to work in a bipartisan fashion in order to get some major accomplishments there in the Capitol. When you think about having a city that is safer, look, homicides, violent crime overall has been dropping in Milwaukee over the course of the last couple of years and even exceeding national averages. And that's good for Milwaukeeans and it's good for the city overall. And when we talk about having a city that's more prosperous for folks, I mean, you don't need to look terribly far in the neighborhoods or downtown at the investments that are happening, right? And if there are cranes in the sky and there are trenches in the ground to pull lead pipes out, that means that people are working. And if people are working, that means they're more stable. And if they're more stable, that means folks aren't porous or aren't transient, rather, and the neighborhoods aren't porous. And if that happens, then we have a stronger city. The neighborhoods become more cohesive. People begin to gel. And that's how you get to the greater public safety that all of us want to see. And I want to build on that over the course of the next year in 2024 and over the course of the next 4 years in the mayor's office.
You know, you touched on public safety a little bit. Just watching the press, you've been very attentive to this. And, you know, we if you're in the city and even visiting the city, you hear these rumors of reckless driving. I think the situation is much improved, but what steps do you see taking?
Yeah, I would agree that the issue of reckless driving in Milwaukee is much improved. By no means are we taking a victory lap and saying that it's over or resting on our laurels at all. But we have been taking concrete, solid steps in order to address the issue. In fact, when I became mayor, even as acting mayor, the very first document that I signed at that desk was a document corralling all of government to work together to solve the issue of reckless driving. And so our Department of Public Works has worked with the Department of City Development. We created a Vision Zero office, making us only the second community in the state of Wisconsin to be a part of that international network of Vision Zero communities around the world in order to stem the tide of reckless driving in our community. So when you look on the streets of Milwaukee, you'll see infrastructure changes that have happened. You'll see roads that have been narrowed. You'll see streets that have gone on a diet. You'll see pinned on curb extensions that have been put there to stop people from being able to pass on the right, which is the most egregious reckless driving behavior that we've seen in Milwaukee over the last number of years. You'll see more protected, actual protected bike lanes in Milwaukee. One, because it's a greater opportunity for folks who use bicycles to get around the community and do it in a safer way and create some equity for those users of the roadway. And not just them, but also for scooter riders and the like. But it also presents an opportunity for us to have another barrier in place to stop people from driving recklessly in Milwaukee. So it's all those coupled with the Milwaukee Police Department's traffic safety unit, which goes out there and patrols reckless driving on a constant basis. It's our partnerships with places like the Greater Milwaukee Urban League that's working to make sure that young people have actual foundations in driving and getting their actual driver's licenses. It's the bipartisan legislation that was recently signed by Governor Evers and initially authored by Representative Bob Donovan to make sure that young people in Milwaukee and across the state get access to driver's education in school like they used to. It's all those things together that's working to make the streets safer now. And I think we'll continue to make the streets safer in the future.
You know, you mentioned driver's education for young high school folks. To me, that is really, really central for so many people. When does that program really get laid out? Is that starting up now?
Yeah, I check with Milwaukee Public Schools just to double check on that end. But I can tell you that folks can get in touch with the Greater Milwaukee Urban League now. And their program is happening right now, where they're working again to connect young people with opportunities to get their driver's license. And it, to me, it's about more than just simply getting a license. See, when I was in high school, I worked. So I had the opportunity to pay for drivers. It was over $300 at the time when I was in high school between 2001 and 2005. And I was able to afford it, again, because I had a job. But some of my classmates, I mean, they couldn't afford it. They weren't able to pay for it. But that doesn't mean they didn't drive, though. And so, you know, you fast forward, you know, these years later, and you've got folks who potentially have taught themselves to drive and potentially are teaching other folks to drive. They're the self-taught, you know, sort of behind the wheel lessons. And that, I don't think, bodes well for continuity in driving culture in our community. So the Greater Milwaukee Urban League heard our call to wrap their arms around this situation. They've done just that. And in a bipartisan way, there's legislation that I supported in Madison that's also helping to address the situation too. And I'm very, very proud of that.
So, you know, you talked on economic development. In 2024, how do you see the lay of the land, and how do we see more jobs for younger people in the city?
Sure, that's a great question, especially as it relates to younger people in this community. So since I've been mayor, I've been working with Milwaukee Public Schools to expose young people in MPS to opportunities in the trades, right? Certainly, we encourage young people to go to college, and that's great. But we also know that everybody won't go to college. I mean, that's just the fact of the matter. And so for those that will go to college and possibly become first-generation college students like I was at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, you know, God bless you. We want to make sure you have the resources to go and do that. But for those other young people who need access to a good-paying, family-supporting job, we want to make sure that we have your back and have opportunities for you as well. And it used to be that manufacturing was king here. They used to say that all you needed to get a good job in Milwaukee was an alarm clock to wake up and a strong back. But those days are not what they used to be. Certainly, we still have a lot of manufacturing jobs here, but not as much as we used to. But the jobs that we have in the union construction trades, right? These apprenticeships present an extremely large opportunity for people to make a very good living. And so we've worked with MPS to expose hundreds and hundreds of young people in the school district to opportunities in the trades, right? So I'm the development mayor. You know, I want to see more cranes in the sky. I want to see more buildings going up. I want to see more housing being built. I want to see more improvements to our roadway. That's a lot of construction. That's a lot of development. And young people have a tremendous opportunity to be a part of that future and get a good job in the process. So there's that. Another thing that we've done is continue on the very popular and longstanding summer youth jobs program called Earn and Learn in Milwaukee and encourage businesses and folks with means to give to that so we can make sure young people have access to a good job in the summer. Another thing that we work to create with some of our partners in the nonprofit sector and others is a program called Camp Rise. And that program is making sure that kids in Milwaukee, kids who live in neighborhoods that have been challenged, have access to caring adult mentors, have access to opportunities to volunteer, opportunities to get off of their block, opportunities to put some money in their pocket in an honest way, honest day's wage for an honest day's work, right? Those sort of values. And that's putting them in a position where they are entering the workforce as young as 10 years old. And we may be the only big city in the United States, Milwaukee, that's doing workforce development with kids as young as 10. So we're doing a lot of things to get young people to work in Milwaukee.
Thank you, Mayor. We'll be right back in a few minutes with more from the mayor. We're going to hear about housing. We're going to hear about the election and the vision for the future. What better way can we celebrate Martin Luther King Jr. Day here at Civic Media WAUK 540 AM other than having my mayor, Mayor Cavalier Johnson, with us? Thank you so much. We'll be right back with the mayor.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
There are 1,000 ways to say it.
Nope. Knock it off. Shut it down. Dream on. No dice. Give it a rest. Not a chance.
Or just
all text. You focus on the road.
As a passenger, you have the power to prevent an accident. There are 1,000 ways to stop a distracted driver. Choose one.
A message from CTIA.
To the big-hearted, the bold, the teachers, the growers, the builders, the change makers. We need you. We are the Peace Corps. In more than 60 countries, we go the distance to make a difference. We're volunteers, partners, communities, bringing our experience, joy, and passion to building a better world together. Are you looking for more? Then we are looking for you. Join us at peacecorps.gov.
93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back, folks. This is your Paul Revere Show. This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is Civic Media, WAUK 540 AM 101.1 FM. I am honored and privileged to have the mayor of Milwaukee, Mayor Cavalier Johnson, with us here celebrating Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Thanks again, Mayor. Before we hit the break, you had mentioned that housing is a priority of yours in 2024. What do you mean by that, and what's going to happen?
Sure. Housing is extremely important. And so folks may be aware that under my direction, the Department of City Development is working on a plan to update the zoning code in the city of Milwaukee. Again, I've talked about an ambitious plan to grow the population here in our city. I think we shouldn't be nibbling around the edges or shrinking. I think we should be trying to grow. We should endeavor to be a city of upwards to 1 million people. And so our growing Milwaukee plan will, I think, put us in a position to do that. And part of that will mean that we're working to make sure that we have more dense housing across Milwaukee, especially in areas that can support it, like along bus lines, along transit lines, and places like that. So we'll be working to make sure that our plan comes to fruition in 2024. But it isn't just that. Just the other day, I had the opportunity to go to the 6th Aldermanic District with Alderwoman Malele Coggs, with Alderman Russell Stamper, as well as with Alderman Robert Bauman, to celebrate our Homes MKE program, where we're working with local, developers from minority communities to rehabilitate city-owned tax or closed properties, and then to turn those properties over to stabilizing forces, homeowners who are going to stay there in those neighborhoods. And we're using millions and millions of dollars of American Rescue Plan Act funds from President Biden's administration in order to make that happen. So we're doing a lot of things around housing that I'm really, really excited about in 2024.
You know, you're in the middle of an election. How do you see using this election to move your agenda forward in 2024?
Well, I think the election presents a great opportunity to talk about what our vision is, the accomplishments that we've had, and what we intend to do in the next term. You know, I mean, we talked a little bit about housing now. We've touched a little bit on development. We've touched a little bit on public safety. And those certainly are things that I have worked on in this first term and things that I want to continue to build on in the next term as well.
Touched a little bit on public safety and education. Where do you see this? That, you know, there was discussion, controversy, new legislation about MPD, Milwaukee police officers getting back into the public schools in Milwaukee. Where is that happening? How is that going to be part of 2024?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. And I mean, there's got to be agreement between Milwaukee Public Schools as well as the Milwaukee Police Department. My belief is that it ought to happen. It was not my desire that it happened the way that Republicans in Madison sought it to happen. But we got to remember the context, right? So Republicans in Madison wanted it to be that there would be one police officer per school in the MPS district. That means 156 police officers in schools, including the MPS school that my kids go to, my youngest kids in elementary school, who are just in K-5. That's unnecessary, right? My thought was that I don't need to have kids, or I don't need to have police, rather, watching over kids when they're getting their backpacks out their locker or whether they're eating lunch in the lunchroom. I don't need that. But what I would like to see is for there to be presence outside of school when things are likely to pop off, when you've got some incidences where folks are driving recklessly, actually on the schoolyard, driving towards kids at breakneck speeds, possibly injuring or killing them, right? That's where I think it's appropriate to have police officers who are at the ready and present to be able to take on that issue. But that remains to be something that the Milwaukee Police Department, as well as Milwaukee Public Schools, continues to work on so we can have those school resource officers in place in 2024. And I should say as well, because of my own personal negotiations with Republican, we were able to drop that number from 156 police officers down to 25 police officers, which I believe is 10 officers less than what was initially in place before MPS ended their contract with MPD.
You know, while we're talking about young people and we're talking about elections and one coming up soon, I did note Pastor Lewis from Souls to the Polls quoted in today's paper about the vote is so, so important. How do you see you and this campaign as mayor, your election, helping get out the vote in the city?
Yeah, and Reverend Lewis is 100% correct about the vote being so important. Look, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter how much money you have or how little money you have. It doesn't matter if you live in a big house on the lake. It doesn't matter if you live in a challenged neighborhood. All you got is one vote. All of us have one vote. It is the great equalizer. It means that my voice counts just as much as yours, and your voice counts just as much as mine. So folks should take up the responsibility they have as citizens to get out there and to go vote. And we'll be encouraging people in this election to exercise their voice, to get up, to get out there and to go vote, not just for mayor, but for other offices that are on the ballot this spring. And we're not stopping there either. My desire, of course, is to win re-election and serve, continue to serve as mayor. But this year is a very, very important year for elections, not just in the state of Wisconsin, but across the entire United States. And the people who vote in the city of Milwaukee, particularly in the city of Milwaukee, they have some of the most powerful votes in the United States. Wisconsin is the purplest of purple states. It is a true battleground. But the people in Milwaukee, if they get up, if they get out and go vote, it's their votes that will help to select who the president of the United States is going to be. So we really need to talk that up, really need to educate the folks in this community as to the power that they hold in their ballot.
Well, as a person who has the privilege of living in the city of Milwaukee, even though we're broadcasting here in Waukesha, you're going to have my vote. Thank you much, Mayor. And I look forward to seeing you out there and doing everything you can to get the vote out, because you are right. In this 2024 in the United States of America, the future could be decided in Milwaukee. We know Wisconsin's going to be important, but it could actually come down to Milwaukee. And so I'm really happy to hear you say that this is going to be a central focus of your campaign as mayor, and I really, really thank you. So 10 seconds on this birthday of celebration of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., what do you say to Wisconsin and to your voters?
Get up, get out there, go vote. It's exactly what Dr. King would have wanted for each and every single one of us to do. And the message that I started with, it costs nothing, absolutely nothing, to simply be kind.
Thank you so much, Mayor. Folks, this is your Paul Revere Show. This was Mayor Cavalier Johnson, one of the leaders of the state of Wisconsin. Safe travels to you. We'll be right back on the other side with our county executive in Milwaukee, David Crowley. I thought it would be perfect to have this back-to-back.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Special Report. Iowa caucuses kick off the political season. The discussions and voting begins in a half hour. With former President Donald Trump leading the pack of Republican presidential hopefuls, they were out trying to round up last-minute votes today. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis in Cedar Rapids.
Thanks for braving the elements.
In Pella, Iowa, former South Carolina governor and UN ambassador Nikki Haley touted herself as an alternative to the former president.
We can't continue to be a country in disarray with the world on fire. And we can't do that with four more years of chaos.
CBS News chief election and campaign correspondent Robert Costa is in Des Moines with more on Donald Trump.
The Iowans, the evangelical Christians here, they're conservative Republicans, wary of him, not really knowing who he is. Now, not only do they know him, they've embraced him, and he has given them everything they want when it comes to power in the United States.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The weather for the next few days will be bitterly cold, with highs in the single digits and potentially dangerous cold wind chills in the mornings. Today will be mostly sunny, windy, and cold, with highs only in the single digits. Cases of COVID, flu, and RSV are rising in Wisconsin at the same time vaccination numbers are down. Boston University's Dr. Monica Wang says health experts need to counter misinformation online.
We as researchers can do a better job about communicating our science, and that means we start communicating our results and our processes in language that's easy and accessible for everyday people to understand.
The Wisconsin Policy Forum says vaccination rates for school children are up, but are still well below pre-pandemic levels. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now, here's what you need to know closer to home.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Cold tonight, a few flurries, a low of 8 below, and wind chills of 25 below. Partly cloudy and cold with a high near 3 on your Tuesday. Wind chills at 25 to 30 below zero. For Wednesday, partly sunny with a high near 7 degrees and a high near 6 for Thursday.
Right now, it's zero.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
We all have someone we love, like the favorite lyric in our favorite song. You can't imagine life without them. Cancer screening tests can help keep the person you love around longer by detecting changes before cancer develops, or catch it early when it may be easier to treat. And many tests are available for free or covered by insurance. It's time to sound like a broken record. Tell all your friends and family, I love you. Get screened. Visit cancer.org/get screened to learn more.
You're tapped in to the issues affecting the Valley and all of Wisconsin. Consider us the bartenders of friendly local talk. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back, Wisconsin. This is Civic Media. This is your Paul Revere show. We are here every Monday at 7 to 8 at WAUK 540 AM 101.1 FM. We spent the first segment with Mayor Kevler Johnson. I thought it was not only appropriate but crucial to share this time with County Executive David Crowley. Thank you so much for being here, David.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you know, I tee it right up. You know, I asked the mayor, what did he learn from Martin Luther King Jr. and what lessons? Same thing to you. How did that man impact your life?
I mean, one, he set the foundation. You know, I mean, one, we're talking about a man who was fighting when, you know, my father, well, let me put it in perspective. My father was born in 1955. And my father grew up in the Bronzeville neighborhood when it was a thriving neighborhood. And I know the stories of what happened to him. But even when I think about what Dr. King fought for, right, and the fact that when all that was happening to him as a childhood, it really set the foundation in what my father instilled into me. But it also let me know that when we think about Dr. King's march, you know, it lets us all know that we've all been marching for a long time. We've been a part of Dr. King's dream. And so when I think about what he has done for me, I wouldn't be able to be the first African-American county executive in Milwaukee County if it wasn't for the foundation that he laid. Now, some ways it took a long time for a person like me to be here, but to learn perseverance and to understand that from Dr. King, it is my duty, one, to not only fight for equality, but it's my duty to fight for equity and to continue to fight for social justice. And so Dr. King, along with so many activists who were fighting for their civil rights. I mean, and as you know, what I really appreciate about Dr. King is he was also a union man because he was also on the picket lines fighting for individuals. And so, you know, he not only understood social justice, but he also understood economic justice and what it meant to not actually just have the political power, but also to put that economic power, which was something that he was really starting to focus on before his assassination. And so, Dr. King has done a lot for me. I think he's done a lot, not only for a person like me, but you know, so many people in this country and in this world.
Without a doubt, it definitely had a big impact on me. So how do we take that message and make it a practical reality? You know, you're the county exec, Milwaukee County, the largest county in the state. As the mayor said, we're the economic engine in large part of the state. What do you see your role in developing Milwaukee County, and where are we going, and in particular in 2024?
So Milwaukee County, one, I think is one of the, you know, best places on earth. I was born and raised here. I live here. And like many other great places, we have our share of challenges. And we lead in many different negative statistics, many different disparities right here, whether we're talking education, housing, incarceration. You can name it, we lead in it, and it's probably a negative statistic. But I also believe that right here within Milwaukee County, the way that, you know, we've pushed our administration to look at is to look through a racial equity lens. Our vision for Milwaukee County is that by achieving racial equity, we can become the healthiest county in the state of Wisconsin. And we truly can, because even when you think about the health disparities that we see them largely along racial lines. And health isn't just not about our physical health. It's really about that mental health and the social determinants of health, because housing, education, employment, this all wraps into how we live healthy lives. And when I think about, today, you know, the service that Dr. King fought for, this is about equity. This is about making sure that, one, we take a look at many of our policies, How can we look internally and figure out how do we right the wrongs or make sure that we're not continuing to not just have policies, but implement policies that directly impact people who are marginalized or not represented within our workforce or within our service work that we are working with our constituents. We have to make sure that we are representative of our community, whether that is through our administration, whether that's through board appointments, and whether that's through our employees. To continue to do this work that Dr. King has started is going to take more than just me, but to be able to have people in place, and that's what I'm truly blessed with, is a team of individuals and to have an organization of folks who really believe in the work that we're doing. And so we continue to do Dr. King's work, actually embedding his dream into the future outcomes of our community.
So, you know, that's a very powerful message. So, you know, how do you take Milwaukee County, which is like how many municipalities are in your county?
We got 19 different municipalities.
So, I mean, this is how is the county exec? How do you go about handling all these different egos and all this? I mean, that's a lot of people you got to deal with, a lot of leadership.
There's a lot of leadership. I mean, and all the different municipalities have their own personalities, right? Like every municipality isn't the same, and they govern themselves the same. Some people work well together. Some have combined services. Others do not. And one of the first things that I did when I was county executive, we were able to actually go out in public because I was in the onset of the pandemic. I visited all 19 municipalities, and it gave me an opportunity to understand, you know, the things that their constituents are fighting for at the local level. And I would say that helped fuel some of the work that we have also been doing, you know, at the county and also even at the state level to make sure that we're bringing home as much resources as possible that not only helps out the city of Milwaukee, but the other 18 municipalities that I represent as well. You know, it's really about building relationships. And I will tell you that it's about also being honest and having tough conversations. And I think that we've been able to do that in this first term. I think we're going to be able to continue to build upon the relationships that we've built so far and really figure out different ways to make a greater impact.
So in terms of like short term, where do you see the areas where you can make the biggest gains?
The short term where you can make the biggest gains, I think that, at the county level, I mean, we've been able to do a lot of great work, you know, particularly with, you know, I think about what we've been able to do with our ARPA funds, being able to invest in affordable housing around suburban neighborhoods. The first time we've been able to do that in 30 years, even if that, you know, the short gains, it's kind of hard to say what those short gains are when you think about what we've been able to do so quickly. But the short gains is really being, to be honest with you, is really being able to double down on the investments that we have made. And I'm thinking of those affordable housing investments that we've made. I'm thinking about, you know, being able to see more happening with our transit line. You know, we just had the Connect One, and now we're looking at a second one off of 35th Street that's being looked at right now. And so, you know, just better connectivity, particularly within Milwaukee County. And I guess the short term gain would be, you know, getting not only the city of Milwaukee, but all of the rest of our municipalities, right, to think of ourselves as one Milwaukee. And so we are the largest of the state. And as the mayor alluded to, early in your show, you know, we're the economic engine of this state, but we do that together. You know, the folks who live in the city of Milwaukee are going in places in the Wauwatosa area, you know, in South Milwaukee and in Oak Creek. And those same people are coming into, you know, the city of Milwaukee. And many of them work within the city of Milwaukee, right? Like many people who don't even live within Milwaukee County.
I'm out here broadcasting Waukesha, and there's an important relationship between these two counties, right?
Oh, I mean, absolutely. And so, you know, being able to have open communication, even with people who I don't politically agree with, but understanding how we can make things work to make sure that the people that I represent aren't necessarily negatively affected is extremely important. So building those relationships, we have to do.
You know, one thing, and I didn't have the chance to talk to the mayor about this, is we sit on Lake Michigan. It's one of the great bodies of fresh water in the planet. Mm-hmm. And, you know, anybody that's been paying attention, we don't have any ice out there yet now. I mean, with this cold weather, maybe we'll see some ice. But, you know, we definitely have global warming. How do you see the lake as an asset to growth in our county? And how do you see that as part of your long-term vision?
Oh, I mean, one, we're talking about, you know, having the largest freshwater system in the world in our own backyard. And we have to, one, understand how much of an asset that is to be able to have this type of access to this water. And so we have to, one, look at it as this can help us economically in the future. And so for me, you just pointed out, right, there's no ice here, right? So that tells me that global climate change is real, okay? And we need to understand that. And so when I think about the future of Milwaukee County, I'm not thinking about just the people who, you know, just come here, you know, because we have great opportunities, right? But I'm thinking about in the future when you're thinking about those individuals on the West Coast, where you're seeing the types of earthquakes that they're having, you know, on the West Coast, and they don't have of access to water, clean water, the way that we do, and the way that they go through droughts. You think about, you know, the south of America, where southern America southern America, where they have a failing energy grid, and then you think about even the East Coast, where you have the potential of hurricanes. The Midwest, Milwaukee, will be the place that people will want to come to in the future, and so we have to start setting the foundation of what we want this place to be, while making sure that we also protect the culture and protect those individuals who currently live here and who contribute to this society as well without moving them out.
In terms of 2024 and beyond your next term, what do you think are the key issues that you're going to have to wrestle with, and that we are as a people going to have to wrestle with?
Well, it depends on how big we're talking, right? Like how big are we talking, Mark? Like, are we talking
I'm just on the
federal
bus.
Politics, statewide politics, county politics. I mean, like I think that's like a so open ended. I don't know how to
answer. There you go. This is a nice thing. I'm just on the bus. You're driving the bus. you tell me where we're going and what issues.
Oh man. I mean, one, you know, let's start this spring, and then let's then move on to this fall, right? And I think that one, we have some local election that's coming up, and they're going to be, you know, crucial, myself included. And so to be able to keep us on track on the work that we have been able to do to achieve our goals and our vision, you know, I want to make sure that I get myself elected. And so for me, you know, it's really making sure that we do everything from the county perspective around health and human services, tackling the mental health issues that we're seeing, the opioid crisis, getting as many harm reduction vending machines as we can, as possible right now out there right now. And we're accepting applications within Milwaukee County. So if you know folks, let us know. But when you're talking about transportation, right, and it's not just getting people to and from,
but
making
right
sure
back.
That we can keep people safe.
Excuse me, David. I'm sorry. Folks.
Okay.
This is Attorney Mark Thompson. This is your Paul Revere Show. We are here with County Executive David Crowley. We'll be right back on the other side for more.
Now, 93.5 The Tap.
Gah, I'm so stressed. It's a brand new year and our business is busier than ever.
Ooma.
What is that? Meditation?
I'm recommending the Ooma Cloud Phone System with auto attendant and more than 35 features.
Ooma?
Yep. Switching to Ooma is a cinch. Starts at $19.95 per month per user, plus taxes and fees.
Ooma.
Now you're feeling it. Visit Ooma.com. That's OOMA.com to learn more. Ooma. Smart communications for the smarter business.
Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol salutes the work of Martin Luther King Jr. as we celebrate his accomplishments in civil rights, his leadership in fighting injustice through peaceful protest, the March on Washington, the Montgomery bus boycott, the Civil Rights and Voting Rights Acts, and more. He led the way for millions to work towards achieving equality. This week, join Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol in recognizing Dr. King's accomplishments and contributions with Civic Media.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back, Wisconsin. This is your Paul Revere show. This is Civic Media, WAUK 540 AM 101.1 FM. I'm honored and privileged to have County Executive David Crowley, our executive, Milwaukee County, the engine of the great state of Wisconsin. And we're talking about where are we going in 2024, and we were just talking about the importance of your election. And folks, just no punches. I get to vote for David, and I'm voting for him. So, you've done a great job. You're the future. You know, this is new times for new vision. So, I just want to touch base here. We have a big election. You said spring and fall. But we have something in between, right? We have the RNC in Milwaukee County. Some of my Dem friends think it's like not a good idea. I thought it was a great idea. So how do you see the RNC convention in Milwaukee County? How do you see your role in that whole thing?
How do I see my role? Well, one, I don't think I need to show up anymore. I think I'm done. I think we're talking about the Republican National Committee. You know, yes, I think this is a great thing for our area, right? And there may be opportunities for me to get involved in things, and we'll see how that those opportunities come.
But they're spending money in our county, right?
But at the end of the day, right? When you think about the opportunity that we have when the Democratic National Committee was coming, right? Or a conference was coming, and I mean, this was a big thing for us, but unfortunately, we had a huge pandemic, and it didn't just affect, you know, Milwaukee, it affected the entire world. And so to almost have a redo, I mean, this is an opportunity for us to literally have the biggest billboard in the country, in the world. You know, everybody's going to be watching this, whether they're actually tuning in because they care about the RNC, or they're going to have their popcorn like many other folks just to see how this thing goes. You know, this is going to put Milwaukee on the center stage. And when you think about conferences, when you think about concerts, when you think about our economy and being able to showcase the things that we have here, but I would, you know, go a step further and even talk about what I was saying before our break, to bring businesses here, because this is a place that they never even seen before, because this is a great place to be. I think this provides a tremendous opportunity for that.
Yeah, I mean, without a doubt, you know, we have water, we have great energy. I mean, you know, to showcase the advantages Milwaukee County has in the country is, you know, it's an opportunity. And let me take a flip side. Let me just, you know, I serve on the Wisconsin Election Commission, right? So
Right. Recently
we had our fake elector, you know, Bob Spindell, right?
Yes.
Now, they just came out and admitted that Donald Trump lost the 2020 election.
Yes.
That the whole thing was a scam, right? So why can't we use that the fake electors have told us that Donald Trump is the biggest loser ever. Why can't we use that to, at the RNC as the background? I mean, to me, it's just amazing, right?
I think, well, who knows, right? I think, you know, it hasn't gotten here. I think if you keep putting it out there, it may actually end up happening in some type of capacity. But, you know, this is, you know, our eyes are going to be on us. And, you know, I'm not sure if the date has been set for the DNC, but just down, you know, just south of us, you're going to have the DNC. And so, you know, there's going to be tremendous opportunity for Milwaukee to get involved in many different capacities. And we just need to make sure that we're taking advantage of it.
So you had mentioned looking for down the road to November. What do you see the challenge in Wisconsin? And I think when you mentioned November, you're talking about the presidential election, right?
Absolutely. I mean, absolutely. I mean, this is, I mean, you've heard it every election, Mark. It's the most important election, and like, but this is a little different, right? And I don't think we've seen this level of posturing from any type of presidential candidate that's willing to sit there and say that, you know, he's willing to get revenge on all of his political, you know, he's in. He just needs one day, right? And this is what we're up against. And so, you know, when you think about Wisconsin, you know, this is, you know, a critical state. This is going to all, and we're always going to be a critical state because we have been going, you know, each way for the past 40 years.
We're purple, right?
You know, we're very purple. Yeah. We're dark purple, you know, when I think about this past election, when you can have, you know, Governor Evers and a Senator Ron Johnson, and I think that says enough. But at the end of the day, you know, we have to make sure that we're getting our message out there as Democrats. And as Democrats, you know, we have to be talking about the investments that really came down the pipeline. I mean, and we can start with, you know, we can start with the COVID-19 relief that we've received from the federal government. You know, it was unprecedented dollars that were helped out. I mean, we were able to eliminate, you know, child poverty for a point in time in half. And so we have to just continue to do those things. And so we have to continue to tell our story to make sure folks understand that, you know, Democrats are fighting, you know, for the little guy. And we just have to continue to just do what we need to do.
You know, I think there are key things. And we have the whole abortion issue, the whole...
Oh, absolutely.
You know, I mean, that, you know, where we stand on equal rights, on women, on gender, is so fundamental and so crucial, especially for young people. And here, we got a minute left. How do you see getting out the vote in Milwaukee County and in the city of Milwaukee is so crucial in November?
I mean, we have to be the ones that really carry this state, you know, forward. We have to remember that we are the largest by population and we are the most diverse. And so, you know, I'm a father of three girls. So when you sat there and so when you mentioned abortion, you talk about women's rights, that's something that we have to do because it is on the ballot. And so we also have to talk about the fact that, safety is on the ballot. So we're going to get this. All right, let's get this on the other side because it's hard.
There is no other side. Hello, folks. Shared our time tonight with County Exec David Crowley. Thank you so much. As we celebrate Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday, this is your Paul Revere Show, folks. We are here every Monday night on Civic Media, WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, and we're honored to be here. Thank you, David.
Tap into what Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley is talking about today. This is 93.5 The Tap. Online at thetap.fm. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Hey, son. How are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder, metamorphosis, the loss of who you thought you is.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228 EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is